Blog Talk Radio.
I'm trying to find it. Oh Lord, rebuke not in thy anger, neither chasten me in hot displeasure. Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am weak. O Lord, heal me, for my bones are vexed. My soul is also vexed. But you, O Lord, verse 3, my soul is also sore vexed, but you, O Lord, how long? Return, O Lord, deliver my soul. O save me for thy mercy's sake. And I'm thinking that I should be at another psalm. Excuse me. Let's start over. I found the psalm that I should read for this morning. Psalms 5 instead of 6. Let's read starting at Psalms 5, verse 1. Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my meditation. Hearken. Hearken means listen to. Hearken unto the voice of my cry, my King and my God, for unto you will I pray. Amen to that. My voice shall you hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto you, and will look up. Oh, see, sometimes I tell you when to pray to look up. Right now when I read this in the Bible, telling you to look up when you pray, or this in this psalm, it says that he will look up when he pray in the morning. That just solidifies what I've been telling you all along. When you pray, look up to our Heavenly Father, because that's where he went up, and he's going to come down. So I've been read in the Bible someplace. Can't remember offhand right now. Verse 4 of Psalms 5. For you are not a God that has pleasure in wickedness, neither shall evil dwell with you. Thou shalt destroy them that speaketh leasing, and the word leasings mean lies. The Lord will harbor. Harbor means to hate the bloody and deceitful man. Deceitful means that you don't tell the truth, or you're a lying person. You're known to not tell the truth. But as for me, I will come into your house in the multitude of your mercy, and in your fear will I worship toward the holy temple. And when I pray sheep, I look towards the east, and that's worship too. Most times when I'm talking to the Heavenly Father, I'm looking toward the east. If not, I'm just walking and talking to my Father. Lead me, O Lord, in thy righteousness because of mine enemies. Make thy way straight before my face. Amen. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Verse 9, for there is no faithfulness in their mouth. That's their enemies. Their inward part is very wickedness. Their throat is an open sepulcher. You know, a sepulcher is a burial place or a tomb. They flatter with their tongue. Destroy you them, O God. Let them fall by their own counsel. Cast them out in the multitude of their transgressions. The word transgression means law-breaking, as well as sin, wrongdoing. For they have rebelled against you. But let all those that put their trust in you rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy, because you defendest them. Let them also that love your name be joyful in you. For you, Lord, will bless the righteous with favor, and you will, it says, and you with favor will thou, and thou means you will, compass means to circle or surround him as with a shell. I hope you get some understanding from the reading of Psalms 5 this morning. I thank you for that, even though I started off on the wrong Psalms that I have wanted to read to you. Sheep, did you stop to pray this morning as I have? Did I tell you that devil messes with me? It's like a constant battle. I read a few weeks back to you that the devil wants us to worship him, but I have surrendered my life to our Heavenly Father. And that devil constantly prays on me. And I'm talking about the pray where he constantly have me to try to get to me to say the wrong thing. It's not the pray like P-R-A-Y. When I pray to God, it's the other pray. And right now, while I'm talking unto you, I forget how to spell the word to pray that the devil does, where he preys on people to take advantage of them. Let us have a word of prayer. See, our Father, I remember, look to heaven. Our Father in heaven. Blessed be your holy name. Your kingdom come. Our Father God, we thank you for not letting us have to flight in the winter or on the Sabbath day. We thank you for keeping natural disasters away from Detroit, Michigan, although it's snowing lightly out as I speak. I thank you for keeping natural disasters away from Detroit, Michigan, your blessed city. I don't believe that we will be snowed in. Nonetheless, whatever our Father's will is, it shall be done. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for giving us sheep sound, sane mind, for restoring us, for unifying us lost sheep, for excellent health, for love, family, peace, courage, boldness, prosperity in everything, and awakening our minds from this deep sleep as to who we are in the world, and that is, we are your lost sheep. We are your original people. We are the Hebrews. I say this in Yeshua's name, and of course you know Yeshua's name, your son's name, has been changed by the Edomian, the Edomite, or the white man to Jesus. Amen. Let me identify myself. I am Sandra Harris, your host. Happy Sabbath, everyone. Sabbath is the only day observed in the Bible that tells you to keep holy. And if you don't know what Sabbath day is, Sabbath is a Saturday. And we start worshiping the Sabbath day or observing the Sabbath day on Friday evening. And it ends on Saturday evening. That's the only day that the Bible has appointed for us to keep holy and rest. Read it. You'll find it in Exodus 20, verses 3 through 17. I read from the King James Version of the Bible, and that's as my longtime listeners, you know to have your three P's handy. Those are your pen, paper, and pencil. There may be some words that I will say that you might want to jot down. And I want to remind you, and this is in the way of an announcement, this month, we'll start our holy feast days. Now, I want you to turn to Leviticus chapter 23, and it will tell you the feast days. I don't quite know. I've been observing. This will be my third year. The Passover will be in March. I do not celebrate the man-made feast like on the calendar that I have in my house. It tells us that the Easter will be on March the 27th, but we don't celebrate Easter. We celebrate the Passover, at least in the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And I will try to tell you when I know the dates of those. I don't quite know the dates. I think it's the Passover day begins on the 25th of this month. And I'm not quite sure. Perhaps next Sabbath I will be able to tell you in better detail the Passover date, as well as tell you what church or churches that are open on the Sabbath where you can go and observe the Passover and unleavened bread days. Now, let us turn to Luke. We are in chapter 6. Let's start reading there. Hopefully, I will get that right. This morning, I got the Psalms verse incorrect, but then I corrected myself. Let's read Luke chapter 6, starting at verse 1. And it came to pass on the second Sabbath, after the first, that he went through the cornfields. It was talking to he is Jesus. And his disciples plucked the ears of corn and did eat, rubbing them in their hands. And certain of the Pharisees, they must have been following along with Jesus' disciples too, said unto them the Pharisees. And of course I explained to you who the Pharisees were last Sabbath, but let me go back and explain to you who the Sabbath or the Pharisees and the scribes were. The Pharisees are those people who criticized Jesus for keeping the laws of Moses as well as the laws of the prophets. And the scribes are those who interpret scriptures of Moses' law as well as those of the prophets. So let us get back to Luke chapter 6, verse 2. And certain of the Pharisees said unto them, why do you do that which is not lawful to do on the Sabbath day? And Jesus answering them said, have you not read so much as this, what David did when himself was and hungered, and they that were with him, how he, David, went into the house of God and took and eat the showbread and gave also to them that were with him, which is not lawful to eat but for the priest only. And that brings me to the title of our lesson for today. Jesus is Lord over the Sabbath. And he said unto them, that the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. Verse 6, and it came to pass also on another Sabbath that he entered into the synagogue and taught, that there was a man whose right hand was withered. And withered means to be shrinked, or one hand is shorter than the other. And verse 7, and the scribes and Pharisees watched him, whether he would heal on the Sabbath day, but they, that they might find an accusation against him. An accusation means to accuse him, or an allegation, or something that they could pin, make a claim against him. But, verse 8, but he knew their thoughts, and said unto them which had, verse 8, but he knew their thoughts, and said unto the man which had the withered hand, rise up and stand forth in the midst. And he, the man, arose and stood for. And Jesus said unto them, I will ask you one thing. Is it lawful on the Sabbath day to do good or to do evil, to save life or to destroy it? And looking around about upon them all, he said unto the man, stretch forth your hand. And he did so, and his hand was restored whole as the other. And they were filled with madness. He's talking about the scribes and the Sadducees, and commune means to talk with or talk to, and they commune with one another. They talk with one another what they might do to Jesus. Verse 12, and it came to pass in those days that he went out into the mountain to pray, and continued all night in prayer unto God. Now, I have tried praying to God, but I could not last more than 1 hour or thereabouts. Verse 13. And when it was day, he called unto his disciples, and of them he chose 12. So at first, there were more than, I'm thinking that there were more followers that were with Jesus, but of those he chose 12, whom also he named apostles. And apostles are those who would be teaching what Jesus Christ taught. Verse 14, Simon, whom he also named Peter, that's one, and Andrew, that's two, his brother, that's two, Andrew, his brother, James, that's three, and John, that's four, Philip, that's five, Bartholomew, that's six, Matthew, that's seven, and Thomas, that's eight, James, that's nine, the son of Alphaeus, Simon the Zealot, Simon, that's ten. The Zealot means he is a true believer. And Judas, that's 11, that's the brother of James. And Judas Iscariot, that's 12, which was also the traitor. So he had two Judases in his group, but he identified Judas Iscariot. Iscariot, that is the traitor, not the other Judas. Verse 17, and he came down with them and stood in the plain in the company of his disciples, and a great multitude of people out of all Judea and Jerusalem, and from the sea coast of Tyre and Sidon, which came to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. Verse 18, and they that were vexed means to be tormented with unclean spirits, and they were healed. And the whole multitude sought to touch him, that's Jesus, the him is Jesus, for there went out virtue, and virtue is healing power out of him, and healed all them. Verse 20, and he lifted up his eyes on his disciples and said, blessed be you, poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed be you that hunger, for you shall be filled. Blessed are you that weep now, for you shall laugh. Blessed are they when men shall hate you, and when they shall separate you from their company, and reproach you, and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Doesn't that sound like someone? Verse 22, I want to read that again, because that sounds like us black people in the United States who are beginning to know that we are the children of Israel just by reading this Bible. In John chapter 8, verse 32, it says, and the truth will make you free. And this Bible is our truth. It's our history book, even though the white man tried to claim it. I told you a few Sabbaths back when I was reading Luke, I think it was chapter 3, when at the end it gave the genealogy of Jesus. Well, the genealogy mentions Jacob's name, but it does not mention Esau, his alleged twin brother. And then I went back. Since I didn't see Esau's name, I went to Matthew chapter 1 and read the genealogy. There it does not mention Esau's name. So I'm thinking that that's a lie where it says that Esau is Jacob's twin brother, where he comes out first. Esau may have come out from his mother Rebecca. That's Isaac's wife. She, maybe through another marriage or somehow. But he was not Jacob's son. There are two places in this Bible that does not claim Esau in Jesus's genealogy. So there you have it. Maybe you can understand it. Search it for yourself and see if I'm right. I think I am. Let me pick up reading at verse 22 again, where I had left off. And I need to pick up reading because my time will be over shortly. I'm going to pick up at verse chapter 6, verse 22 again. It says, and this reminds me again of us black people in all nations where we have been scattered because we have been excluded. The word reproach means excluded. Oh, excuse me, I had to burp. Reproach means excluded or separated. Let me read verse 22 to you as I see it. It reads, blessed are you when men shall hate you, when they shall separate you from their company, and shall reproach you. Again, reproach means to exclude or separate you, and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Rejoice you in that day, and leap with joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven, for in the like manner did their fathers unto the prophets. But woe unto you that are rich, for you have received your consolation. You receive your comfort here on earth. Consolation means comfort. Verse 25, woe unto you that are full, for you shall hunger. Woe unto you that laugh now, for you shall moan and weep. Woe unto you when all men speak well of you, for so did their fathers to the false prophets. Verse 27, but I say unto you which hear, love your enemies, do good to them which hate you, bless them that curse you, and pray for them which despitefully use you. Despitefully means be mean or hateful, degrade you. Oh, those are hard things to do. And verse 29, and unto him that smiteth you. Smitten means to hit you on the one cheek, offer also the other. And him that taketh away your cloak is your club covering, forbid not to take your coat also. These are hard things to do, Heavenly Father. And I know, because I went off on a young person yesterday, and I was provoked. Had not that person, I'm just going to say it. White people think they are over us, but they're not. And I called and let that person have it. You don't call my house hollering at me. You provoke me to do evil. And sometimes I will, even though I am an old woman. The young man had to remind me that I am an old woman. I forgot. I said, who is the old woman? And when I thought about it, it's me. I am an old woman. And I'm thankful that for when I consider the alternative, I am very thankful. Let me pick up reading at verse 30. Give to every man that ask of you, and of him that taketh away your goods, ask them not again. And verse 31, and as you would that men should do to you, do you also unto them. And that's what I try to do. I try to do unto others as they do unto me. But sometimes I just don't. And I try to be good, like our Father says. But the person in me will come out, whether I'm young or old. I would say 95% of the time I am a nice person. Verse 32, and forget, let's not talk about my behavior in the past. Let me start over new. As the children would say, can I do over? Do over. Verse 32, for if you love them which love you, what thank have you? For sinners also love those that love them. If you do good to them which do good to you, think, what thank have you? For sinners also do even the same. For if you lend to them of whom you hope to receive, what thank have you? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. Verse 35. But love you your enemies, and do good, and lend, hoping nothing again, and your reward shall be great. Let me start at verse 35 again, and I pray that I will read it as it is written here in the Bible. But love you your enemies, and do good, and lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great, and you shall be the children of the Highest. For he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Verse 36, be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. Judge not, and you shall not be judged. Consume not, and you shall not be condemned. Condemn means to convict. Forgive, and you shall be forgiven. Let me read verse 37 again. Judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Condemn means convict. Forgive, and you shall be forgiven. Give, verse 38 says, give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, and shaken together, running over, and shall men give unto your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet, the same measure that you give, meet means give. Withdrawal means again, it shall be measured unto you. So what he's saying is, what size amount of, that you give, you will be given that again. Verse 39, and he spake a parable unto them. Of course, you know, I told you in the past, parable means story or lesson. And the word he is Jesus speaking a story or parable unto them. It reads, can the blind lead the blind? Shall they not both fall into the ditch? Verse 40, the disciple is not above his master, but everyone that is perfect shall be as his master. Verse 41, and beholdest you the mote that is in your brother's eye, but perceiveth not, is you're not aware that the beam that is in your own eye. Verse 42, neither, how canest you say to your brother, let me pull out the mote that is in your eye. Well, the mote, again, is a spot or a speck that is in your eye. He's saying, how can you say unto your brother, let me pull out that spot that is in your eye, or that speck that is in your eye, when you yourself beholdest have a beam in your own eye? You hypocrite. A hypocrite is a person that will tell you to do one thing, and he doesn't do what he tells you to do, or what he or she tells you to do. He or she will do something else. It says, you hypocrite. A hypocrite is a liar or a pretender. Cast out first the beam of your own eye, and then you shall see clearly to pull out the beam or the mote, the speck that is in your brother's eye. Verse 43, for a good tree bringeth forth not corrupt fruit, neither does a corrupt tree bringeth forth good fruit. For every tree is known by the fruit it beareth. For the thorns men do not gather figs, nor do the bramble bush gather they grapes. Let me read verse 44 again. It says, for every tree is known by its own fruit. For of thorns men do not gather figs, nor of a bramble bush gather grapes. Bramble bush is a bush with thorns, or it's a thorny bush, or a stem that has thorns on it. And thorns are little sharp, look like wood pricks that will prick your skin if you touch it. That will make it bleed if you touch it hard enough. Verse 45. A good man out of the good treasures of his heart. And whenever I see heart, I usually replace it with the word mind bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart, and I place it with mine, bringeth forth that which is evil, for of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And remember, I said, when I see the word heart, I replace it with mind. It says, for out of the abundance of the mind, the mouth speaketh. Verse 46, and why callest me good? Verse 46 again. Why callest you me, Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Verse 47. Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my saying and doeth them, I will show you unto whom he is like. He is like a man which built an house and dig deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently. Vehemently means violently upon the house and could not shake it. But it was found, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built an house upon the earth, which when the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruins, ruin means destruction or destroy, of that house was great. I have read to you, I have completed reading to you Psalms 6. Luke 6. And I pray that you have gathered something from the reading of this word, some understanding from the reading of his word. Right now, I want to have a closing prayer. And after that closing prayer, if I have time, I will speak about other things. Our Father in heaven, we are lost sheep. Thank you for all things, especially your constant protection from the evil one. We thank you for leading us not into temptation and delivering us from evil. We thank you for giving us this day our daily bread, and forgiving our debts as we forgive our debts. I say this prayer in your Yeshua's name, who the Edomites, the white men, or the Nubians call Jesus. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Remember, sheep, take our Heavenly Father with you everywhere you go. And if it's God's will, I will talk with you next time. And you will find that if it's God's will in James chapter 4, verses 1 through 5. I'm out of time. I'll talk with you next time. Although I will say to you, if you can, I want you to go and purchase this book, How to Eat Longer by Dr. Reginald Eadie. Go to www.eatandliveer.
Help your children. And don't let them fall.
As well, go to Amazon and purchase my book
of the road.
The unseen.
To love one another,
the three of them,
that heaven might find
$20.
Okay.
in their heart. Go to Amazon. Purchase
Jesus.
My book. No one has. Who will be the first?
He won't let you down. And I know he loves
you
forever.
And
in my heart,
on Amazon.com is there.
We've got to walk on. Walk on through temptation, 'cause he loves, and his wisdom will be our helping hand. I know the truth, and his word will be our salvation.